Right, so today I want to start by reading possibly the most famous and well-known verse in the Bible. And that is John 3:16. And it says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world." So this is such a well-known verse, and growing up as a Christian, it's the one that you learn and that you can recite, and probably lots of other people can as well. But I was reading John recently, and I reread this verse, and it just really struck me and spoke to me. So, and just afresh. So I just wanted to just bring a few thoughts, really. I think sometimes it's really easy to, when you read the Bible, to see the verses that you know really well and just sort of skim over them. And but sometimes it's good to just stop and to take time and really think about what these verses actually mean. And I've been really thinking about this one a lot and how much it highlights God's love for us. And we're going to look at, I'm going to sort of bring out a few points about that. But it sort of absolutely blows my mind that the God who made the whole world and put the stars in the sky and just is amazing, loved me so much that he died for me, and he did that so he could be with me forever. And that is just absolutely mind-blowing. And as I started to just think about that and what, you know, what God's love is and what he, you know, what he's done for me and for you. I started to get my notepad out and have a little go a doodle. If anybody sort of knows me well, in high school I was known for doodling rather than working. My English book was covered in doodles, not English words, which is probably why I'm not very good at words. But so I got my piece of paper out. I've got it here, look, and I'll show you. So I put God's love in the middle. And then I just started to think about the words that were brought to my mind about God's love. And so here it is, look, there's my doodle. And I don't know whether you can read it, but some of the words on there, sort of uncontainable, unconditional, unfailing, unshakable, sacrificial, never changing, steadfast, forever, the rock. And then I put his love for us must have been immense for him to go through what he did. And I just wanted to bring out really three of those attributes of God's love and that I wrote down and just bring a few thoughts about them really. It's nothing new. I've heard what people have said before, but it's just been not always thinking about what it means to me. So this is what I've been thinking. So the first one is God's love is unconditional. Unconditional, a love without conditions. You don't have to be a certain type to qualify for God's love. You don't have to hit a certain standard. You don't have to meet a certain criteria. I've already talked about how much God loves us, but I know in the past that there has been parts of me that I've thought, oh, I'm not good enough. That can't include me. And maybe there's parts of you that you're thinking that, you know, well, you know, well, what about this and what about that? Or maybe you think that God's love is not big enough to get rid of all the rubbish that you've got in your life. But it says in Ephesians 3:18, "And you may have the power to understand, as all God people should, how wide and how long and how deep his love is." The Passion Version says how enduring and inclusive it is. You've only got to look at Jesus's disciples, the people that Jesus chose to be with him. They were a rum bunch, and so it just goes to show that God doesn't have a type or a criteria that we have to meet. God's love is bigger than any of our excuses that we can make that we think might disqualify us. And we shouldn't let what people think of us or what we think of ourselves make us feel unloved or unlovable, because that is not true. You know, God loves us. And the only thing that will help us to get through those struggles and change the way we see ourselves is to see how much God loves us. When the children were younger, I used to read them a story. And this book really came to my mind as I was thinking of this. And it's called You Are Special. And it's about a little village, and the people are made of wood. And the maker of them is on lives on the hill and overlooks the village. And in their day-to-day business, they go around and they've got stickers. And they've got star stickers, and they put the star stickers on the people they think is wonderful and beautiful, and that they think are good, or are good at sports, or good at singing, or so they stick the stickers on them. And they've also got spots, and they stick the spots on the people that maybe are ugly, or maybe they're a bit worn out and tired, their paint is peeling, or maybe they're not very good at things, or, you know, they stick the spots on them. And there was a little man, and his name was Punchinello. And he was not very beautiful, he was not very good at things. And he got lots of spots. People kept sticking spots on him. And the more spots he got, the sadder he got. And the sadder he got, the more people stuck the spots on him. And one day he noticed that there was one girl who didn't have any spots or stars. She didn't have either. And so he decided to ask her why she didn't have any. And she told him about Eli. Eli was the maker, and how she went and saw him every day. And she told Punchinello, you should go and meet him. So Punchinello went. And I'm going to read a little bit of the story, picking it up from there, because I couldn't really put it into words that was as good as the story. So I'm just going to read a little bit more. So he walked up the narrow path on the top of the hill. He stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened, the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. And he turned to leave. Then he heard his name. Punchinello. A voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped. Punchinello, how good to see you. Come in and let me have a look at you. Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large bearded craftsman. You know my name? The Wemmick asked. Of course I do. I made you. Eli stooped down and picked him up and sat him on his bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the grey dots. Looks like you've been given some bad marks. I didn't mean it, Eli. I tried hard. You don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give you stars or dots? They're Wemmicks just like you. And they think what they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think, and I think you're special. Punchinello laughed. Me? Special? Why? I can't walk fast, I can't jump, my paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hand on those small wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly. Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me. Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello. I know. She told me about you. Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she decided that I was more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them matter. If you let them... What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about the stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will, but it will take time. You've got lots of marks. For now, come to see me every day and let me remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him down on the ground. Remember, Eli said as the Wemmick walked out the door, you are special because I made you and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground. God is our maker and he loves us. Sometimes we live in a world where the things stick to us. Comments from people, feelings of not being good enough or ever getting things right. But have we forgotten God's love for us? Just like Punchinello, as we spend time with God and he reminds us of how much he loves us so much, those spots will fall off. He wants us to live our lives in the freedom of knowing that we are loved and accepted. Another one of the words was God is steadfast. Steadfast, I looked it up in the dictionary, you'll be proud of me. Resolutely and dutifully, firm and unwavering. Some other words that came to mind when I thought of those words were unfailing and unshakable. Unfailing, reliable, constant, without error or fault. And unshakable, strongly felt, unable to be changed. In Hebrews 13 it says, he is the same yesterday, today and forever. Therefore God's love never changes. What an amazing thought, that the love that God has for us never changes. No matter what happens, his love remains the same for us. And that is just such an amazing thing that we can stand on. You know, nothing changes with God. Psalm 107 verse 1, give thanks to the Lord for he is good and his love endures forever. Some people's love comes and goes. God's is there forever, never changing. Another one was God's love is sacrificial. 1 John 4 verse 10 says, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God loved us first, even before we knew him. That is real, real love. When I first started going out with Daryl, if he hadn't have paid me any attention, didn't really want to spend time with me, I'm pretty sure I'd have told him where to go. There wouldn't have been a relationship. There wouldn't have been a marriage. That would have been it, because he didn't show he loved me. But the fact that actually he used to pop in 5 minutes before the curfew. We had a curfew because we were quite young when we started dating and we used to start really late, so we had a curfew. So he used to pop in just 5 minutes before the curfew just to have a cuddle and a quick kiss. But just the fact that he did that, and the fact that he used to surprise me with days out or flowers, or it showed me that he loved me. It's not just what we say, it's what we do that shows someone we love us. But Jesus gave his life for us because he loved us so much, even before we knew him. That is the greatest example, the cross, where Jesus died to show us and the world how much God loves us. He wants to forgive us our sins so we can have that relationship with him that was broken all that time ago with Adam and Eve. And that's his love. John 3:16 again, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the greatest demonstration of sacrificial love. We didn't know him, but God loved us already so much that he gave his only son and that Jesus died for us. Wow. You know, what a love that is. That is God's love. Amazing. I just want to finish, really. I don't know what the time is. With it's a little bit random, but I was looking through Facebook the other day and I came across a video. I don't normally watch the videos, but this one just caught my eye, and so I watched it, and it was a sloth, and he was grabbing onto a rock, and underneath him was sort of water lapping underneath. Now, sloths, that's not their natural environment. And so he looked petrified, he looked wet, he looked tired and ready to give up, to be honest. And as the video went on, these men came and they were climbing the rocks. They saw the sloth, and so they decided to rescue him. And they got this branch, this huge branch, and they held it over the sloth. And for quite a while, and trying to encourage him to sort of grab onto the branch, but he was very reluctant. Even though they wanted to rescue him, he was very reluctant to grab on and let go of what he knew. It took him absolutely ages, but eventually he took one claw off the rock and sort of grasped on to the branch. And then after a while, he then decided that he might let go of the other one and then grasped on. And eventually he was hanging, as sloths do, on the branch. And when he was securely on there, the men gently and carefully carried him up the rocks, and on the cliff there was a forest and a tree, and they put him in the tree, and he grabbed hold of the tree, and he totally moved, and he then started eating the leaves, and he was in his natural environment, and he was enjoying that freedom of being in his environment. And God really spoke to me through this video. I wasn't expecting it, but he really did. And there was two things, really. The first one was, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, he's holding out that branch for you, the branch of eternal life. He's holding it today. Jesus loves you, and he loves you so much that he died on that cross for you. And God gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And the last bit of that verse says, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world. Our sin and the things we do wrong is the one thing that separates us from God and from knowing him and experiencing his love and finding freedom in him and having eternal life, and one day we'll go to heaven. And we need rescuing because we're separated from God. And the cross was and is God's rescue plan. It was his plan that he's holding this branch out for us so that we can be rescued. And just like the sloth, we need to see God is there and he is everything that we need. We need to put our trust wholly in him and let go of what we're holding on to and ask God to forgive us. And so we can be saved and find the freedom that brings. Just like the sloth when he goes into the tree, you know, what a difference it's in the circumstances. The second thing that really spoke to me was, as Christians, have we forgotten God's love? Have we forgotten what he did for us? Are we clinging on to things that aren't good for us? Bad habits or thoughts or things that we're struggling with, or negativity, and have we forgotten? Can we not let go? Have we got so used to things that they've become the norm? It's quite easy, isn't it? Things just keep going and then they just become the norm. But Jesus didn't go through all of that for us still to be clinging on to these things. The sloth had become so used to his environment that he was in that he was reluctant to let go. And it took him a while to realise that actually grabbing onto that branch was the best thing that he could do. Even if it felt a bit out of his comfort zone because he'd been in that other environment for a while. But actually, when he did, look what awaited him. amazing. When you watched the video and you saw the sloth in the environment that he was supposed to be in, it made me realise that I am so much better when I give my all to God. And he puts me in the best environment, and so where I can just enjoy God's love. So can I, in finishing, can I just encourage you, if you don't know Jesus, think about it. Think about what he's done for you. Think about how much he loves you. He gave everything he could to have a relationship with you. And he's desperate for that relationship with you. And it will change your life, holding onto that branch and giving it all to him. John 3:16, everybody who believes in him, not some, everybody, we all meet the standard, the criteria. There is no criteria. We're all, it's everybody. And if you do know him, but you have forgotten how much he loves you, remember the story I read, Punchinello. The spots don't stick when you realise all that matters is his love for you. So can I encourage you? Let go of the rock that you're stuck on and trust him. For the first time, or again if you're struggling or you've lost your way. He will put you back where you belong, in a place where you can enjoy his love for you. So that's it, that's my thoughts. And I'll just pray now. And Lord, we just thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you that you love us, that you gave everything for us. And Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that if anybody is just feeling that resonates with them, Lord Jesus, I pray you'll just touch them and you'll be with them. Lord, I pray that they'll give all to you. They will let go, Lord Jesus, of what they're holding on to and totally and utterly trust you. So Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for us and that you loved us so much. You gave everything for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.